Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here from quarantine, Southern California. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the... Oh, good. From the Dave in the... Wow, I really messed that up. Okay, good to have you with us for the big A to Z show. From the Dave in the City studios in quarantined Southern California, we lose track of the days, the weeks, the time, and the hour, and sometimes I lose track of the open, but we're glad to have you with us anyway, and we hope you've been enjoying this A to Z series so far. And it continues tonight with a little bit of a look at the entertainment industry, but more than that, just a chance to catch up with our good friend Tom in New Jersey. He'll be joining us for the duration of this program. Probably not going to hear from our friend Kevin on the Cape tonight, but I am about he sends good wishes to both me and Tommy, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way. It's going to be some show. I think we've had a great time with these programs so far, and if you haven't caught on to all of them, you can catch up on the previous episodes A through G by going through to the Dave in the City Out West podcast feed or at ditcow.com. So let's continue. We certainly don't have a lot of Hollywood action in the City of Angels at the moment, or anywhere else for that matter. It's certainly that strange time, and we are now up to the letter H. Hollywood has put a lot of things on hold. TV shows are on hold, Ellen's on hold, Oprah's on hold, everybody's on hold. Even some Netflix shows have been on hold because the production can't continue when you have orders to stay at home and not gather. So there's not a lot to look to in terms of being entertained except for things that are already on the various media platforms. And one resource that I have found to be a salvation for all of us has been YouTube, because many YouTube channels don't require a giant staff, so some of the YouTube channels can keep going. Many YouTube productions end up taking about a month to produce an episode, so I think we're still going to hear from some of these channels as we get into the coronavirus shutdown, but we continue for now. And the good thing is there's a lot of different things you still can catch up on, too. Classic movies, classic TV shows from the past 3 years, even like trendy shows that you haven't have been able to watch yet. Good examples. The Mandalorian, a Star Wars TV show that is on Disney Plus. Another good example is Stranger Things, which has been on Netflix for a few seasons. You can catch up all the way from the beginning. Or if you're really far behind, you could catch up on Breaking Bad, start at episode 1 and go all the way to the end. Boy, that would be some experience. But anyway, let's bring in our friend tonight, Tom in New Jersey. Good to have you, Tom. How's it going tonight?
Dave, somber affair. Coming to you live from quarantine, New Jersey. I am off work as you are and no end in sight. Well, according to Trump, he wants everybody back in the workforce in a week, no matter how many people die and as long as his economy does well. But that's a discussion for another day. I know you want to talk Hollywood, so I'm ready.
I don't know. I mean, I did see that before starting our show tonight, and I was like, have fun with that. I don't think the people are going to really listen to him in that case.
No, I mean, his Surgeon General or whatever said this morning that this is going to be the worst week on record with the number of cases and deaths. And there's on CNN, the headline is 100 deaths just today. So I don't know what he's talking about. I understand why he's saying this, because he wants to get reelected, and he knows if the economy is in the toilet, he's not going to get reelected.
Nope.
And you could tell in the press conference he had today, which was like a marathon. It was over 2 hours. I listened to about half of it, and I had to turn it off. you could tell in his press conference today that he's becoming unhinged and he's starting to lose it a little bit. And obviously I'm not a fan of his. I mean, you can tell by just what I'm saying, but I think even his supporters at this point are starting to lose faith in him and what he's saying. And Dr. Fauci and all these doctors are totally going against him. And if you watched any of the press conference, Dr. Fauci was nowhere to be found. So I'm going to guess Trump sidelined him and he put another clown, I guess, on next to him to pretty much anyone that supports him. He puts on next to him. But then if you say anything against him, he puts on the sideline. So I guess Fauci's his latest, which is unfortunate because the guy's an absolute genius.
Yeah, he's great. I think we've all leaned on Dr. Fauci in the last couple of months, and his record goes way back, even way before this. I mean, he was at the forefront of the AIDS epidemic long, long ago. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's just crazy that even Trump can belittle and get someone like Dr. Fauci mad at him. I mean, God damn. It's just crazy what's going on. And
yeah.
I understand that Trump wants the economy back, but I think his idea that he wants everything back to normal in a week is a pipe dream. But he's going to do what he wants.
That's a tweet of desperation, and you can tell from the capital letters. Because I think, just like you said, that's what he wrote, but what he's really saying is he's scared shitless about losing his job. And I think that's ultimately what this is about. And I think it's just a plea of help, like hoping that somebody could wave a magic wand and make it go away. But it's not going to happen. And it's only going to get worse for him, certainly. By the way, can I comment on the other part, the Surgeon General warning this could be the worst week yet? Of course it could be, because this is the point where the testing is starting to catch up. I don't think anyone should be surprised at that comment or even scared of it, because all that's saying is that your sample size is going to go from a small sample size to a pretty large one. So, I mean, to think that it would have gone otherwise is kind of silly.
Oh, and exactly. Part of me wonders Trump is trying to limit the testing because he doesn't want the numbers to skyrocket like they are. And New York and Cuomo was one of the first states to really go crazy with the testing, and that's why New York's number is through the roof, and all these other states are behind because they're not doing the testing that we're doing. And that's why you see in Florida like all these people on the beach and acting stupid, and a lot of those states, they don't know what's ahead of them, and it's only going to get worse.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, certainly, when you talk about getting worse, what we're talking about specifically is the numbers. The numbers are going to absolutely get worse. We knew that already. Like, I think if you have to have, all you have to do is have a brain in your head and look at what's been happening around the world. And we know it's going to happen here, too. I just don't see it going any differently. And to your point, you are suspecting that he's limiting the testing on purpose to keep the numbers down. My friend Jacob Rosales, who I'm friends with, and you may have heard from him from time to time on the show. And he's very well versed in political science, and he absolutely thinks that's what it is. There's no question he thinks that's what it is. It's not even a shred of doubt that's what it is. But as I said to him and my friend Coach in the emails, that's not going to last either. There's no way that's going to last, because eventually the states are going to catch up and they're going to have their testing. It's going to happen. And Trump is going to get his butt kicked at that point, I think. I think so. I don't know. If you don't disagree, that's fine. I mean, we are open to different opinions here on this program, but I don't know. I think even if he's trying to keep it down, that's not going to, the states have their own powers. So I think that's just not, it's not going to end well for him, I don't think.
Before the coronavirus, I thought he would be a shoo-in for reelection, because I didn't think Biden would have any chance against Trump. But now, after seeing all this, I can't see a way that Trump's going to get reelected unless something magically happens. Mm-hmm. In the next few months, which I highly doubt is going to happen. The only saving grace he might have is that it's, what, still how many months away? 6 or 7 months away. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I really don't see it, but it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. But I think the one thing we can say is that since it's worldwide, you can say that it just seemed like a lot of this was going to be inevitable, because you can see that in a lot of Western countries, a lot of egos got in the way. And I think Britain's going to have it almost worse than us. They are really slow. It's taken them a long time to get around to some of these ideas. Have you seen the scenario over there?
Oh, no, I haven't, to be honest with you. But Trump knew about this like a month ago. He was getting memos, and he put his ego ahead of this, and he didn't want to do anything at first. So
yeah, and it's not going to take long.
This is all on him.
It's absolutely, absolutely. It's not going to take long for people to connect the dots. And I think what the difference is between, let's say, 4 years ago and now is that the fringe guys, the people who were on the fence, were willing to take a chance. But those same people who I think were the difference, you didn't win by that much. You know, I think that they are certainly not going to be in his corner this time. I mean, that's just my opinion.
He's going to have a lot of trouble winning states like Pennsylvania and Michigan,
yeah,
and those blue collar states that he won last election. Florida, he's not going to win those states again the way it's looking right now because of the economy. And
yeah,
he knows that. That's why he's trying to rejump the economy, because he knows that's his only chance right now. And he thinks getting everybody back at work is going to work. And I think he thinks, if the older people die, then so be it. But when those death tolls keep rising, that's not going to be good for the economy either. And he doesn't see that.
No, it's funny. This is the first, would you say this is the first real crisis he's dealt with since taking the presidency?
Oh yeah. And he's done terribly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if any president could do a good job with this scenario, but he's just done terribly. And you know who's actually, I think, done a good job is Cuomo, the governor for New York. He's done a great job. He's been testing constantly. He was really the first guy that was going crazy about making sure everybody got tested, and that's why New York's numbers are so high. But I think New York's going to be in a month or two is going to be in good shape. And meanwhile, these other states are lackadaisical and far behind. They're the ones that are going to have more and more problems.
Yeah, I think two other states I'm going to give credit to. My state, California, I think they were one of the first ones to do the shutdown, the shelter in place. It was a gradual thing. They started limiting gatherings to 250, 100, 50, 10, and now zero, basically. And they even took it a step further this weekend by shutting down the beaches. They should have done that before, honestly. But they've done it now, and now it's, I think they are at least in the front end of the curve. And I think, could you say that Washington's is pretty much ahead of the curve at this point, too? It's hard to say with them.
Yeah, Washington State, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were, they were one of the first states to have a case, right? So
right. And they did not mince words with that either. I think they were ready to take action, certainly.
Right. Are a lot of people in California still going out? In New Jersey, Murphy, the governor here, has done like a slow valve shut off, as he describes it, where he turns the valve off. And right now we have only essential workers are working, but he's still what's considered essential is kind of vague. Construction guys can still work. Laundromats are still open.
Okay.
Certain retail stores are still open. Takeout food services are still open. So he still has a lot of things open. And me as a surveyor, I'm technically not essential, but if my boss wanted me to go to work, wanted us to work right now, we totally could, but he feels as if this week is not a good idea to go back to work. So probably this time next week, I'll probably be back at work, because our governor doesn't really categorize what's essential and what's not really. So I feel as if a lot of people are working when they shouldn't. So I don't know if he's doing a great job with in that scenario. And
yeah,
a lot of people are still at parks, and a lot of people are still doing gatherings. In a town near me, a bunch of Hasidic Jews had a bunch of weddings over this past weekend, and
goodness,
cops had to go in and break up the weddings. I mean, it's crazy how some of these people just do not get it.
Yeah,
and
that's really unfortunate. How old are the people in question? Are they pretty young? Or are they pretty old? Are they in the middle?
Probably in the middle, I would say.
Okay. I tended to think that the gatherings have been happening with younger people because they're just struggling to to really put into place what this actually is, and they just think, oh, it don't happen to me. It's just old people. We don't care. And a lot of young people think that way, and it's incredibly infuriating.
Now, are a lot of people in your area just going out doing what they normally do and because they feel as if they're young, they can do what they want?
It's a tremendous question. I haven't really seen as many gatherings here in Santa Monica, although there are some beaches down south that were doing it, and maybe even at other parts. Like Carlsbad had some gatherings this weekend, which is very annoying. That's my understanding. Santa Monica didn't seem to be in that boat. It looked like it was pretty empty on the pier and everything. There might have been people at the beach, but they were not close together. So at least I can speak for where I live. We do have a lot of people out, but there's reasonable distance, I think. I think people who are in the same family are together, but other than that, not really. But it is interesting how many people are out, like walking the dog and exercising. I don't think there's a problem with that. I have to do that too. I have to exercise too, or else I'm going to gain 50 pounds if I don't do that.
Me too.
That's been a problem. So I need to make sure I'm good. And, you know, if you look at my fridge right now, it's got like hot dogs and pizza and stuff. It's not great. I got to obviously find ways to keep the health going in my nutrition. So with your work, are you getting any kind of leave for that? Is your work compensating you for that period of time that you're not working?
Yeah, I'm still going to get paid, thankfully.
Oh,
but who knows how long that's going to be. I mean, if this is 2 or 3 months down the road that I'm still out of work, my boss is not going to be able to pay me. You know what I mean? So it's I'm in the private sector, not unlike you. So I don't think you're ever going to have to worry about getting paid, which is great for you. And have they said at all when you're going to go back? I'm sure you're done for the semester, right?
We are done. They said the end of the academic year, which includes commencement. They are going to do a virtual commencement at UCLA to circumvent the situation. That's sad. It's kind of sad, but it's like kind of nice too that they are at least going to try one. But it's very different, but understandably so. So yeah, basically, to your point, it's basically we're done. Nobody's going back to campus through the spring, and we won't even have thoughts of like trying to reengage classes on campus until at least mid June at this point. So it's very different.
Are they going to have you go? They're not going to have you going in for anything. So you're pretty much on vacation.
No. We are all working from home. Like all the staff.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah. And the students are taking classes via Zoom and other web conferencing tools. So the classes are happening, but they're just happening in a very different manner where it's more like you're basically watching it on, you can interact with it too, but you can watch it online and interact with it. And we're doing the same thing at ARP where we work. So honestly, I don't think the amount of work has necessarily changed that much. It's a little bit more just because since the technology needs to be done to set up the online talks that we're going to end up doing. So we've been planning a lot for the upcoming workshop. So it's kind of nice in that regard that we've been able to figure out a method to present these talks without having to have people there. It's a tough adjustment for a lot of people, but on the technical side, it seems like we've got things set up pretty well right now. So we're very happy about that. I think it's good to know that we'll be at least be employed for the next couple months.
Is it hard for you to get motivated to wake up every morning and do the work because you're at home now and you're not going anywhere? Is it harder for you to get motivated?
That's a great question. It hasn't been a problem for me so far. Like I think because I'm able to use remote desktop to go to the actual computer that I'm on, it almost feels like I am at work. But what's weird is that I thought that when I would do this, I'd be able to just put the TV on and watch TV while I work and things like that. And it really hasn't happened. I'm pretty much just simulating my workspace. So I think that time could come, but it hasn't right now. I think it's just because we've been involved in all these online meetings. Like we have meetings to discuss what we're going to do too. Like we have like Zoom meetings just to determine what our next move is, how we're going to do this. We've got another staff meeting tomorrow. We used to get staff meetings like once every 2 months. Now we got one every week because you can't talk to anybody for the most part unless you schedule a Zoom meeting. So they've been trying to get people engaged in online chatter, like video conference things instead. So Right now, no. I surprisingly, it hasn't deterred my focus necessarily. There have even been days where I felt like I've been working more because of all all the overhead it takes to set up an online conference. So I think it's been okay. I don't know what's going to happen in about 3 weeks once we get used to all this stuff and where we get in the groove of doing things online. I don't know, John. That's a very good question. That's the biggest surprise of all is that I have not struggled to get up to go to work. That's weird. Like, I thought that maybe I'd sleep a little more, and I do, but I still don't wind up, like, checking in at 9, which I thought I would do. So, yeah.
Yeah. But it's still early in the game, so maybe once you guys have everything on the flow, you're going to start getting a little bit bored. But right now, that's great that you're able to work and you're able to go through your day normally, because I have a lot of friends that are working from home, and they're telling me, like, they just, like, by noon, they're done, and they don't know what the hell to do for the rest of the day. And
oh, yeah.
They're just miserable, and then thought they would never be miserable, but it's only been about a week, and people are bored out of their minds wanting to leave. And I feel as if once the weather gets better around here, like today it was 40 degrees and pouring all day, so there was no reason to go outside. But I feel like once the weather changes, people are going to be going out and then just making this worse. So hopefully the people know better.
I'm rooting for bad weather too. I'm like, we had rain almost the entirety of the last 2 weeks before this one. So it's like that almost was an advantage for Southern California. It's a weird,
right.
It is a very strange but underrated benefit that we had so much rain, because even if people wanted to, they weren't gonna, because it was raining every single day. It was.
Yeah.
But I do get bored, though. Like, near the end of the day, I'm kind of just staring at the screen, and I'm like, wow, you know, like, what am I going to do now? It's like, I can go outside, but just to walk, I can go to the store.
I can't even tell you all the movies I've seen in the past week. Like, yeah. You're going to have to, like, remind me of all these movies. I've seen, like, movies that I've seen numerous times over and over again, like Sicario. I just watched again.
Okay.
I watched Saving Private Ryan for like the 20th time today, and that's a 3-hour movie. I watched Sisterhood of
Sisterhood.
You're gonna laugh. Saturday night at like 11:30. I'm bored out of my mind, and on demand, obviously, you could purchase movies for $3.99 a clip, and at 11:30, I'm like, you know what? I'm going through the list, and I'm like, you know what I haven't seen in a while? And I see it, and I'm like, it's Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. So I put that on, and by midnight, I'm like, why the heck did I just waste $4 renting this? So I turned it off and went to bed. And I've done that like 2 or 3 times now, where I make a purchase and regret it like 20 minutes later.
Oh my
It's
goodness.
Just crazy.
That is. There's still a lot of movies that I would like to see, but there are a bunch of them that like I can't get to. A good example, The Big Lebowski. I haven't seen it on Netflix yet. I haven't seen it on Amazon.
That's never free.
It's never free? Okay. So I got to buy it.
No. From what I've seen, yeah, it's never free. And I haven't seen that forever. I haven't seen that since it came out on DVD years ago, but that's a classic.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good recommendation to see.
Yeah. I'm on the fence as to whether to rent it or put it or just like get the Blu-ray. I haven't decided yet.
It's worth it, Dave.
It's worth it? Maybe I'll do it.
Yep.
I think I might do that.
But there's so many movies that I want to see, but instead of like renting them, I end up watching the movie I've seen 10 times, watching that again. I see Goodfellas on TV, and I'm like, oh, let me watch this. Like all these rewatchable movies I'm always constantly watching, but when it comes to, like, watching something new, it's hard for me to get to put it on, you know what I mean? But then once I do put it on, I don't regret it. Like, it's weird.
Well,
like, I watch The Office on Comedy Central, like, 2 hours every night. If you ask my wife, she thinks that's all I watch.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I think it's as simple as because you're familiar with it, you can like you know what you're going to enjoy it. Whereas with anything else, there's a risk. It's and then that's probably the what's stopping you with the new stuff.
And what stinks also is that the movie theaters aren't open, so you can't see anything new.
Nope.
I know that they put up they put a couple movies on demand for $20 that you can watch that were just in movie theaters, but I forget what the name of it is, but it's the woman from The Handmaid's Tale. I forget the actress's name. Elizabeth Moss, that's her name. It's the movie she stars in. They just put that on demand, and it was on theaters for a couple months, and it did really well. And it's for $20, and I keep looking at it. I'm like, I don't really want to pay $20 to see this. But that's what they're starting to do. And then movies like the new Fast and the Furious that was supposed to come out, they postponed that until next year. That's how money hungry those people are.
Wow. Yeah. You know,
they knew it wouldn't do well, so they postponed it for a whole year just to make sure that this time next year it kills in the box office, which is obviously a smart thing to do, but
yeah,
shows how money hungry they are.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's pretty funny. Like, but not surprising. Like, I did see that with Disney's Onward, which was in the theater for like 4 days until they shut everything down. They did put that on Disney Plus or they're about to. So credit to them on that. So you can just get your Disney Plus and they'll have the movie on there.
I think they did. My sister-in-law has Disney Plus and we just started using it. And my wife is big on Frozen, so she's been watching that like 2 or 3 times. And I ended up watching, I don't know if you saw this movie from years ago in the 90s, Blank Check, some kids movie.
I remember the commercials for Blank Check, yeah. How was
that? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I mean, it's a good kids movie, but I mean, it's corny. But I mean, it's worth seeing for nostalgic reasons, I guess. But I mean, they have pretty much anything that's Disney's on there.
Yeah.
So I haven't really gone through it yet, but hopefully I can, maybe after this podcast, I'll check it out. But, Disney Plus has some great stuff. And I think Onward now is on there.
Let me give you a couple other, corny kids movies from that era. All right. So the one with the monkey business, do you remember that one?
Oh yeah.
That was good. So and he just kept, apparently the kid, what, like the little girl was a Dodgers fan, so they called the monkey Dodger, and it's so silly. All right, so that was one. Do you remember Three Ninjas?
Oh yeah, that's a good one too. Where the guy from Honey I Shrunk the Kids, Ramis, I think is his name. The guy, the dorky guy, the glasses. He's in that, I think.
Think so.
I think he's in that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. I've seen that years ago. How about the one with Sinbad and the kid that turns into the president, I think, or something? First, I forget what it's called. But there's that one. And that, is Richie Rich with Macaulay Culkin, is that considered Disney or not?
No, that's not Disney. That's Warner Brothers.
That's not Disney? Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if Three Ninjas is either. I'll look that up just to make sure.
I think it is.
I thought it was too. Let me double check. Yeah, it is. Touchstone.
Or what about like the Big Green? You remember that soccer movie or Little Giants? Those, or obviously the Mighty Ducks is Disney.
Yep.
Those are big.
Definitely. Otis is mad at me that I haven't seen that movie yet, and that alone should be enough reason for me to get Disney Plus. I should just finally get around to that movie.
Oh, and, wow. You haven't seen the Mighty Ducks?
No, it's weird, right? Like I can't believe it's been that long, but nah.
You're not gonna like it. You're not gonna like it as much because you're not a kid. But that type of movie, it's one of those movies that you see over and over again because you loved it as a kid. But then as an adult, it's not as great. And I know Otis is screaming at me right now, saying how great it still is. But I don't think you're gonna like it as much.
Well, I may as well see it anyway, just for posterity.
Yeah.
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 Let's see. Any others from that era? Okay, there are two sports movies. One is just a slam dunk. And actually, I believe both of these would be part of Disney Plus now because Disney bought the company. But number one is Rookie of the Year. That's a
classic,
absolutely, slam dunk. The other one is the classic of classics, The Sandlot. I mean, that just goes without saying.
It's classic too.
Just the best.
Did you see Little Big League, the one where he's the manager of the
Twins? I saw a little bit of it. It was on Major League. It was on MLB Network. I saw a little bit of that movie.
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
They show the same five movies on MLB Network over and over again. They really need to get, like, venture out and get some other movies.
Yeah. Like, why, like, they can show Little Big League 900 times, but why won't they show Field of Dreams once? It's like, you know, it's like right there, guys.
I don't think they can. Maybe they don't have the rights for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That might be it.
That might be it. Yeah.
Have they showed Eight Men Out there on there?
I don't remember. Sounds like they did.
I don't think they've seen that either.
Yeah. Good question. I don't know. That is a good question. So let's see. Do you want to stay on kids or just go to baseball?
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, did you want to stay on kids movies or do you want to bring up some more?
Do whatever you want, Dave. You can talk about whatever you want.
Beethoven.
Oh, classic. And they have like 3 or 4 sequels on that.
Yeah, they did. They really did. How about Kindergarten Cop?
Oh, of Arnold?
Yeah.
Great.
I do not have a tumor.
Sit down.
Oh, that was good. Let's see.
Who is your daddy? What does he do? It's such a funny movie.
It was very funny. It was a good movie. Let's see. Anything else? Let's see. There really were a lot of them. The 90s really were a great renaissance of, like, kids' movies. I think King Arthur, which had the guy from Rookie of the Year, was also in the mix. So that was a good one.
How about going to the 80s? And how about, obviously, Big with Tom Hanks?
Oh, Big is a classic. Yeah, Big is epic. Yeah, that's a great one. Big's an awesome
movie. That's a free movie right now, too, on demand.
Where?
Do you have Xfinity? What's your cable subscriber?
No, I have YouTube TV. So not on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be on Disney Plus though, probably. So I'll go over there and check it out.
It should be. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great choice. Let's see. Junkie and I were talking about the Goonies when we were last on. So that's a.
That's great.
That's an obvious choice. That's a great movie. Yeah, let's see.
And if you think about it, Sean Astin and Brolin were two big stars from that movie.
Yep. Absolutely. There's no big stars. You know, Astin obviously.
The kid, Rudy. Short round.
Yeah.
The Asian kid. Yeah, the Asian kid from Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. He's in that too.
Yeah, I know. I'm keenly aware of that. I mean, he basically didn't act. He just did the same thing that he did in the other movie. Like,
exactly. That's why those are the only two movies he's in.
Yeah. You know what the funniest thing about Chunk was? The fat kid in the movie? They said they were saying that after, you know, years later, he lost all the weight and he's like the skinny guy now. It's like he's like totally different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you look at photos of him, he looks totally different. Yeah. I don't think he did movies after that, though.
No. I think that was it for movies for him. So that was pretty cool. Even the women on that movie were pretty good. I think I remember the name Martha Plimpton, who played one of the ladies there. Not the cheerleader, but the other one. And she ended up doing a bunch of
color blonde.
I think so, yeah, with the glasses.
Wasn't she on Third Rock from the Sun, the TV show?
I thought so.
She might have been.
Yeah. I looked it up. Let me see.
I think she was. She was definitely in stuff, though, after that.
Yeah. She may not have been like one of the regulars, but maybe a recurring character or something like that. I don't know, but...
She definitely had a career after that.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, I remember that very well. So that was... Yeah, it was pretty good. I think Goonies is a terrific movie. Very fun. Definitely, like, one of the best adventure movies you'll see. And I think, unlike, like, what you were saying about The Mighty Ducks, I think you could still enjoy it, even if you'd never seen it as a kid. Like, as an adult, you could see it.
Right. It just won't be the same. You're not gonna love it like Otis would or I would, because you didn't see it when you're 10 years old.
Right. That's fair. Now these are a great choice. Let's see, where is E.T. a kids movie or is it more like just a general?
Yeah, that's a kid's movie that just, I guess, surpasses just kids and just goes, it's pretty much everybody. That's more than a kid's classic. That's just a classic. That's just a great movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, as far as I know, it's in the AFI Top 150 that they did some years ago.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a movie I'm going to go seek out. I need to see. That's a good movie to watch again and again. Oh, back to kids' movies. We missed a big one. Space Jam. I just saw it.
Oh.
I just saw it yesterday.
You just saw it?
No, I mean, I've seen it before, but I saw it again yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic. And think about all the NBA players that are in that.
Yeah.
Barkley, Patrick Ewing, and a bunch of others are in that, too. That's a classic.
Yeah, definitely.
And now LeBron's going to redo it with Space Jam 2 or whatever. Who knows how that's going to be?
I don't know. I'm not, you know, when I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. But now that I think of it, maybe not. I mean, I think we can give it a chance. We'll see.
I don't think he's getting the big NBA players in it, though, is what I remember reading.
Oh, that's not going to work, then.
Marquee guys in it.
You have to have the biggest of the big names in that movie.
Yep.
I mean, and the reason why it worked is because I think from my memory, Michael Jordan was actually friends with Charles. Definitely was friends with Charles, and probably with Ewing.
Oh, he's friends with all those guys.
Yeah. So that's why it worked. Like, they were legit friends in real life. And LeBron really should get... I mean, one of the problems is that Dwayne Wade retired, so you can't get Dwayne Wade in there. They were pals,
right.
But you can't get him in the movie because he's already out of the league. So what are you left with at that point? I think that's one of the pratfalls of LeBron being at the end of his career. Is like, it's going to be tougher for him to find allies in this scenario. He could get AD, which might be good.
He can't get Kyrie Irving because Kyrie has Uncle Drew.
Did you see that movie? True. I did see that movie. I liked it. I thought that was a good movie. It was fun.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And it was surprising how he got Aaron Gordon to do it, because Aaron Gordon is not a big name, really.
Yeah.
And he was actually not that bad.
Nah, that was a pretty good performance. Like, he really showcased his basketball skills, too. Like, he had some really sick dunks in that movie. Yeah, that was a good choice.
He's one of those NBA players that you always wonder why he's not better than he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he could do anything. And then you look at his stats, and he averages like only 15 points a game, and you're like, what the heck?
No, it's true. He's like the third option on that team, on the Magic right now. God. It's so weird.
For all the talent he has, it's kind of sad, embarrassing that he's not a better player.
Yeah, I agree. It is very unusual, because like, you see him in the highlight reel, or I don't remember if he was in the dunk contest, but he should have been.
Yeah, he won the dunk contest years ago, I think.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because he's got the hops.
He's never gone past that.
Yeah, it's weird. You're right. That's going to be one of the big mysteries of the NBA down the road. Yeah. By the way, it's not this. You knew this was coming. When are they? What do you think, the season's over? Do you think that's it?
Sadly, I think it is, and the way this is going, I feel like Major League Baseball is in jeopardy. I don't think Major League Baseball is going to be back until at least July.
No,
and the Toronto manager, GM or owner, the GM said on ESPN. This, I don't know if you saw it, but he said it's going to take them a month to get ready again. So
you got to get
everything going by June, or they're not going to be able to play by August. I mean, you got clowns like Evan Roberts on WFAN who don't care if it's only a 40-game season, but you have to have at least – I feel as if the cutoff's got to be at least 70 games. You have to have at least a 70-game season. Otherwise, what are we doing? So
that's a fair question.
And you wonder if it's a shortened season. Obviously, it's going to be, but I'm saying if it's only 70 or 80 games, are they going to do a ton of doubleheaders to make sure that they can get these 80 games? You're going to kill the players doing that if you overwork them.
Well, yeah, I think
that'd be interesting.
I mean, it's funny that we're thinking that far ahead. It's only March 20th. It's only March as we get into this, right? And you're right. I don't know. That's a heck of a question. I think I think when they said that, I've been listening to some old, I'm still catching up on my podcast. This is how dramatic this shift in our society has been, is that I'm listening to podcasts from like 2.5 weeks ago, and it's like, I mean, it's bizarre. It's like, well, they're going to delay the season 2 weeks. And I'm like, it's going to be more than 2 weeks, man. I was like, but that was a report from a long time ago. But
well, it feels like when they announced March Madness was canceled, that feels like that was like a year ago.
It does. It does.
It feels like it's forever ago. Remember how mad everybody was and how furious people were?
Yeah.
I remember Yachts and a bunch of other people were incensed about it, canceling it. And now, thinking back on it, I mean, it was obviously the right decision. But yeah. Look what's gone on since. They couldn't be playing in this.
No, absolutely. I think it's really interesting how our attitudes about the entire pandemic have changed in just a couple weeks. I think we see it front and center, we realized how serious this is. And then coupled with what you already know about what's happening in other countries, it's really incredible. So I will say credit to the people who finally wised up, including myself. I think I was slow to figure it out, too. And the Rudy Gobert incident really changed everything. I keep bringing this up, but it was such an important moment in our nation's history in a bizarre way, because if he had gone another couple days like that before that happened, or something like that happened, because it was going to happen anyway, I think even if it wasn't him, someone else would have, like, in a couple days after the fact.
I mean, think the NBA definitely would have canceled, but I think March Madness would have gone on, and then they would have had to cancel it after the first weekend, like a bunch of idiots, because they're so obsessed with money.
Yeah,
that they were willing to go do, and they if Gobert didn't happen, they definitely would have had the tournament, because there's so much money riding on that. That I mean, look what happened after the Gobert. They still took forever to officially announce that it's canceled. I mean, they were grasping at straws at that point. They were still trying to get it. They took forever. They still had the Big East tournament going on for 2 days.
I was just gonna bring that up.
Wasn't that embarrassing
just to see that, like, what are you guys doing?
Absolutely. it just shows you how much money talks.
Yeah,
especially with sports. And then the report that all the NBA owners were against having fans in the stands, except Jim Dolan. I mean, no one could be surprised that Jim Dolan was the one moron that wanted fans. Shows how inept and stupid he is.
Yeah, he really is. And ultimately, it's as outrageous as that is, it does not surprise either of us.
No, it doesn't surprise anyone. I mean, when that report came out on Twitter, I think Woj had it. I mean, it's just priceless, because even Woj said something about it. I mean, it's unbelievable how obtuse and just clueless he is. No wonder why no one wants to go play with him.
Yeah.
Play on his team.
No.
Well, that's for another day.
It is. That will definitely save for another day. But it's definitely been crazy. But you got to credit Adam Silver for putting his foot down. You know, that was not an easy decision for him. He knew that there was going to be massive losses of money as a result of this. And it's not, I think he was right. Wouldn't you say he was the one that ultimately got the tide rolling?
Yeah, because he knew right away he had to stop. He had to control it. And he had to, he had to stop the league. And it's unbelievable that Gobert, the guy that was fooling around with the microphones and acting as if this was no big deal.
Yeah.
Of course, he's the one that gets it. It's kind of like with the Senate, how Rand Paul now has it after he was dicking around forever, working out and traveling everywhere and thinking he was going to get it. You have all these people thinking they're invincible and they're not going to get it, and they turn out to be the ones who do get it.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to root for this to happen to a lot of people, but the people like him, and people who are at spring break, five people from the Florida spring break gatherings have already tested positive for coronavirus. And I'm like,
you knew that was going to happen. It's only going to get worse.
There's no question. And I'm like, that. It's like, of course. It's like, you guys cannot be stupid. You could not be more obtuse about that. And so I'm like, that's how dumb people are and how selfish people are. Like, they're just going to keep doing what they do until they literally get the virus themselves. And I don't think they have any idea what this thing actually is. And now that they know, maybe there'll be some common sense invoked in the state of Florida.
Yep. Couldn't say it better myself.
It might be too late, though. That's what the scary thing is for them.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah. I was surprised. You know, we just had Yachts on, and Yachts was talking about how the state of Florida still hasn't shut things down at the point that we did our podcast. And I'm like, wow, like, what are they waiting for? I'm like, what do you need to be convinced of this? You know, I didn't say that to him, but I was just thinking that in my head. I'm like, what is it going to take for you guys? You always notice the South always at the dead last and reacting to anything like that. It's just like,
I know.
They're so dumb.
It's just Florida, where they say they put the duh in Florida. Hey, really?
That's good. I like that. Yeah. But so I wish safety for Yachts. I think he'll be okay. But
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. I think most people who go through this, common sense. Yeah, exactly. I think Yachts was still going out to work out too, but other than that, I think
he's finally tempered down with that. He's finally realizing, like he can't be doing what he normally is doing.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you one more question before we get to Junkies Random questions that he sent to you tonight.
Okay,
and I want to talk about Andy because he seemed to almost be mocking the pandemic in the beginning. I'm not sure if I'm just misreading his tweets because I was playing along with him too. I thought that was. We may have been exact, you know, maybe he had, maybe there was something to that, I guess, kind of almost with him in the beginning, but I wonder, I haven't been on Twitter in a long time, so I have no feel for what he's saying now, but what was your takeaway from this updates from the then
now,
episode?
I don't go on Twitter that much either. If you had seen, I was on Twitter after when they announced that March Madness was canceled, because I wanted to see all the stuff that was being written.
You did say the anti-Bulls, John Rothstein.
I only go on Twitter when something big happens. Mm-hmm. I want to read what certain people say. And I saw that Otis and a few others were like, this must be serious if Tommy is on Twitter, which is true. I'm only on when something big happens. But I think Andy is just the biggest troll he could be on Twitter. And I think he just strictly just looks for reactions from people. And I think he's one of those guys that hates when people just beat things to a drum and just goes on and on and on about one particular thing and doesn't look at it from a different point of view. He just goes after those types of people. So he definitely takes this coronavirus seriously, though. I mean, he has to. I mean, look, I know he's working from home, and he's in Washington State. They were the first two to have a case. So I think to answer your question, he's definitely taking this seriously, but I think he's being a troll with the people that are taking it to the extreme.
Right. Like, and ultimately that's what I thought he was doing too. Like generally what he's really does with those kind of tweaks is he's more tweaking the media extreme reaction to stuff. And that's what I gathered. I mean, obviously he doesn't think it's not a big deal. I didn't think that, but I was wondering what your perspective on his take was, because you know him better than me, to be fair, to be honest. Like, you know him more than I do.
I mean, I text him daily with Otis and Yachts. We have a group message that we've been having for years now. That group message I have with those three, it has to be at least two or three years long now. And it's crazy how long that group message has gone on. And some days there's probably 200 texts, and then we can go two or three days where there's no text whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, take for instance today. Today we're talking about stocks and what stocks to buy now that the economy's down, and which stocks we could take advantage of. And Yachts was saying to buy Delta, and I was telling everybody to buy JP Morgan Chase, and it's a good group text message thread, and I think I forget what Andy told me the other day, but someone blocked him on Twitter because of what he was saying. I guess to go back to your point, he must have gone too far with some guy, and the guy ended up blocking Andy. And I think that's like Andy's favorite thing is when someone ends up blocking him, like John Heyman, obviously from years ago. I think I'm being blocked from John Heyman. I'm barely even on Twitter, but yeah, Andy just likes pushing buttons to no extreme to every level you can think of.
Yeah, I mean, he's just having, it's just for humor. Like, that's always been my thought.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, I don't think he's necessarily taking himself that seriously. And he always says
no,
that.
No, I mean, you've had him on your
Absolutely.
Podcast numerous times.
There's
no question. He's never serious.
No. So, I think what happens is some people do. So, they have real problems with him. But I've never, once you talk to him on the phone, it's clear that he's just being
completely normal.
Absolutely. So that's all it is. And but either way, I've just been completely out of the loop on anything Twitter lately. And honestly, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. I've had a lot of fun. I've been at peace, I think.
Is Umar and Ron still crazy on Twitter? They still tweet a lot, and does Ron still like beat everything to like a dead horse? He goes crazy with something and just hammers at it. Does he still do that?
He's done that ever since we've known him, right? So no, that has not changed. No. That has not changed. And so that's still the same. He'll take some silly meme. The one that I think really took the cake for me, I shouldn't say this on there, but going back to, do you remember when they had that picture of Mike in a hat from like, it looked like Mike from a hat from 1930 as a guy that looked like Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord. That was never funny. I'm sorry, Rollins, but that was never funny. I apologize, but I never understood that one.
You remember when I used to call people out on the board and I used to write messages? I remember calling him out on him beating stuff to a dead horse, and he kind of got upset at me about it, but it's completely true and accurate. I mean, he totally does that. And Umar does certain stuff too. I know, I'm going to guess 90% of his tweets are Francesa related, and most of them are hilarious, but he pretty much just tweets about Francesa, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a massive reduction in tweets in recent years. I think you are familiar with that.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Once the Mongo Nation got out of control, like it was like kind of like its own virus that he couldn't stop, and he just kind of packed it in and left. toned it down.
It's really Funhouse. Funhouse ruined it.
Yeah. I would agree with that. It is funny to see people quote Funhouse, and I'm like, wow, really? Like, the whole Funhouse thing is just a little tired at this point.
And he's still obsessed with Mike, right? Funhouse?
Yeah, as far as I know. And I think he's still quoting his like 30-minute show, and I'm sure he's still posting like clips from a 30-minute show on the Twitter, but
and he still hasn't revealed himself or anything, right?
Andy would have a better idea, I don't know. I assume it's
probably not.
Probably not. But so that's the way it is. You know, March 2020. Let's go to the random questions from from Kevin on the Cape. It's just good to talk to you again, too, by the way, Tom. And how is Diane? How are things?
Oh, Diane's doing well. She is 29 weeks pregnant, so we're almost at 40 weeks. So, and she's doing well. She just started her third trimester, and we're having a boy. And
oh,
we got
that's great.
A name picked out and everything. So, yeah, we're good to go. Hopefully, everything by the time the baby's born, hopefully everything's close to normal again. And
there's talk
that I won't be able to be in the room when she delivers because of what's going on. And hopefully that's not the case.
We'll see.
I mean, you know, that's a little scary right now, but other than that, everything's okay.
You can have a Skype meeting, a Zoom meeting for the baby birth.
I brought it up to Diane through text today, and Diane was just like, I don't even want to talk about it, so I'm not going to bring it up.
Where do
again.
I point the camera during this thing? No, I got you. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. I agree.
Oh, yeah, hopefully not.
And what I always say to everybody is that, remember, a lot can change in a week. A lot has changed in the week between last week and this week, and a lot changed the week before and the week and that week. So who knows what the next week will bring? The only thing that's kind of killing my idea of that is freaking Italy. You just, golly, what the hell? It's just, they have just been hammered.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. There are different ways to evaluate this, and some of them are not politically correct, but basically, it's a very densely populated area with a really large, there's a much larger elderly population there than in a lot of places. And so that combination has been brutal. The second thing, which I brought up in a previous show, is that they did not get all this other information like we did. Like they were completely blindsided ahead of the situation. And it did sound like the people at the top were also very cavalier about it too. There's a little bit of that as well. Not that uncommon, though. It looks like a lot of countries seem to take it too lightly. A lot of countries did. But Italy, being one of the first ones and being in relatively close proximity to China, I think that just there's a lot of stuff that just went against them. And because they're so densely populated, because of the amount of contact that they embrace in their normal lives, and then the fact that they didn't have this all this other information in advance. I mean, they got hammered, and it's just
right.
I still feel awful for them. Like,
this is I don't like saying this, but this is almost like a Holocaust with that country, and it's going to be like a whole generation of people that are just wiped out. It's just crazy what's going on there.
It's really sad. Like there's not much for me to tweak about it. Like, it's just incredible. And I keep thinking, well, gosh, I mean, 700 in a day. I mean, how do you get worse than that? And then who knows? Maybe tomorrow it'll be 1,000 in a day. It's just like, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And the only thing I can hope for, and I don't pray for a lot of things, but I would pray for this. I just hope that no other country has it that bad. You know?
If this happens here, we're in a lot of trouble. Yeah. If that ends up happening.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think about the relative numbers, right? So I didn't check. Let me check the numbers. But I know that it was something. It was well over, like, holy mackerel. It's 5,476. And that was a day ago. So it's probably like 6,000 now. 6,077 now. Oh, my gosh. Wow. So that's 6,077 out of 60 million people. So that is what? Is that 1%? So
probably around there, yeah. I'm not good at math.
So 1% of 330 million people is 3,000. No, it's more than that. It'd be like 30,000 people.
Right.
Could you just even imagine 30,000 people in this country dying due to that?
I know.
I mean, that would be unprecedented. Trump would have absolutely no shot if it were to get that bad. So we just have to hope that it's not that bad. And I think we are handling this better. We're more spread out. So certainly, I think there's some reason for optimism, but clearly this is a big challenge for everybody. And I'm just hoping that we can learn from this.
It's totally a change to our usual livelihood. And it's going to take a while for people to understand. And I think, hopefully, people are starting to get it with all these numbers that are coming in every day.
Yeah.
It's getting worse and worse. I think it's starting to click in. And I think people are starting having family members and people they know are getting it. And it's starting to sink in finally.
Yeah, that's my hope. And I think it is for a lot of people that I know, but there are still some who really either don't want to believe it, or they think it's a hoax, or whatever they think, or they think, oh, it can't happen to me, but it will happen to them or someone they know soon enough.
Yep.
Yeah, I am scared. You know, are your parents doing okay? Are they all right?
Oh, yeah, they're fine. They're okay. Fine. They're totally quarantined. They're in Maryland, but they're doing fine.
Oh, thank
you. Everything's good there.
Yeah, you know, my grandparents are fine so far. My parents will be okay. I think they're not 70 years old yet, but they're also quarantined fine and back in Oxnard. And that's the good news. It's just tough with my grandparents because they have existing medical conditions, you know? Like, one of my grandparents has diabetes. And my other grandmother absolutely has type 2 diabetes, and she's overweight. And it's just, like, nothing, none of the good stuff, you know? Like, there's nothing she's doing that's helping her situation. And just, she struggles to move, and it's not been fun. Like, even before coronavirus, it has not been fun. And... you know,
so now you can't see her even, right?
No. I mean, certainly I'm not going to put it upon myself to do that. I could at least call her, I guess, see how things are going. But the point is, yeah, and then it's frightening. It really is, because one of my grandmother, the grandmother I'm talking about, of course, is 90 years old. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, she's had a great life, certainly. She's lived a very long life, but the last, like, 3 or 4 of these years have not been the best for her health, and so we're doing our best the way we can to help her lead a comfortable life, you know. I mean, other than that, she's generally fine, but it just, every day I'm thinking about all of them, because it's so prevalent. I mean, if Placido Domingo can get it, and the guy that was a coach or manager for Real Madrid can get it and die, I mean, that makes me very scared.
And even, like, healthy NBA players are getting it, like Kevin Durant. I mean, who would have thought that?
That's a big one, right? And
yep.
It's hard. I don't know. I mean, I guess in Brooklyn, maybe you shouldn't be that surprised because of how big of a thing it is over there. I agree with you that I feel like we're going to get a big old rash of, like, LA infections spotted in the near future. But it is a pretty remarkable situation for now that only 5 deaths so far. But as
it's going to keep rising. I think the next month is going to be really bad. I'm hoping that by May it starts to decrease.
Yeah, we'll see, right? I don't think it's... I mean, we're all doing the right thing now. Like, it took some states way too long, took some states not as long, and I think we are doing the right thing now. And it seems like everyone's got a feel for working at home, too. I feel terrible for businesses right now, but you're right. Well, there's nothing else we can do at this point. We just have to be careful and continue to be safe and wash our hands, all the things, and we'll get through it. But,
yep.
All right, so let me get these questions and then we'll close it up. So, and folks, I do thank you for letting us get into that a little bit. You know, I think it was the right thing to do. I ultimately, this series is really our method for getting through this pandemic. So let's go. Here are 2 questions from Kevin on the Cape.
Here we go.
Not on the Cape anymore, by the way. He now lives somewhere else in Massachusetts. And he and his little son, who looks just like him, send their best along with Suni. Let's go. Question number one. What is the biggest pleasant surprise about getting married, Tom?
The biggest pleasant surprise. Of course, that's a good question from Kevin. Probably that, just how, this is corny to say, but how we kind of complete each other. Like I have some pros and she has some cons, and what she does isn't good in certain areas, I'm good in certain areas, and vice versa. And I feel as if we complete each other, and it's just nice how we rarely ever fight, and I couldn't be happier with the wife I chose and the person I chose to be with. And she's actually sleeping right now, so I hope she's not hearing me say this. Well, she could hear me. I'm saying nice things, but it's just everything's going well, and it's just nice how it's like yin and yang, and we complete each other in a lot of ways.
That's awesome, man. That's very well said, Tom, and pretty good thoughts on your end. So that's cool. Very cool. And kudos to both of you. I think it's awesome when you have a union that good, and may it continue.
Oh, and don't get me wrong, people listening. We do. There's definitely strife, and marriage is tough. I'd be the first to say that, but the good always outweighs the bad, at least for me.
Yeah, I think that's well said too. I certainly know many people who've been through long marriages, and they always say there's ups and downs. So, pretty cool. Okay, next question. He asks, "Would you rather live the next 7 weeks with no toilet paper or no hot water?"
Toilet paper, because I would find another substitute that would try. I would try, and whether it's a shirt or leaves or something, I would find a way to, other than toilet paper, to clean myself. Hot water, there's not much of a substitute for that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting call. I did look at that, and my initial answer was the no hot water, because I said I could heat up water, but I'm assuming that's not an option here.
So no, it's not.
Yeah, you're right. That would not have been an option. So, but your answer makes
sense. You're going to take cold showers?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, well, I could get through it, but in the end, you're probably right. The interesting thing with the toilet paper is there are alternatives for sure. Like even paper towels or napkins. There's a lot of different ways to go about it.
I mean, it's terrible for the environment, and you don't know what the hell you're going to do with it. I guess throw it out but I mean, you're not going to flush it down the toilet is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good question.
That is a good question. Yeah. You have to bag it up like the dogs. Oh,
too bad for the garbage man.
Yeah, for sure. Poor trash guy. Yeah. Oh, interesting follow-up. Do you have a dog?
No, and I've wanted a dog, but Diane put a kibosh on that. We're not getting a dog anytime soon.
Okay. All right, we'll see how that plays out the next couple of years. I'm not a big dog. I don't have a dog. And I don't have any interest in one now, but I know many friends who love dogs. So I think I respect your desire for a dog, and you never know what the future will bring. So
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, Tom, I appreciate you coming on. It's just good to talk to you again. It's been a while, and send my best to everybody else and even Andy as well. I do want to get him back on the show, and I'm thinking we could do this again a little later when we get close to the S, and we could talk about the scenario in Seattle. And then just see if we can get Mr. Seattle on to join us for that. So I'll
tell you this, Dave. If whenever you get Andy on, I'll be on. I'll make it a priority. So
if you get
Andy on tomorrow, if you get him on tomorrow, I'll come on. If you get him on 2 months from now, I'll come on.
That's
so
awesome.
Whenever you want to get him on, I'll go. Come on.
All right, that's a deal. So we will get to that point somewhere pretty soon. It won't be that long. So. We'll be in touch. Okay, well, enjoy the rest of the next few weeks, and you know, be safe and be healthy, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me.
All right, Dave. Don't be a stranger, and text me whenever. If I don't respond, you can yell at me and be like, Tom, you didn't respond. So I know I'm not the best at responding to texts all the time, so where I'm sometimes a little short, so ask me a follow-up if I don't give you much of an answer in text. But keep me updated on how you're doing. It's always great to talk to you, and hopefully I hear from you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, man. Take care.
All right.
We will be in touch.
Peace out.
All right, buddy. That's Tom in New Jersey. And there's no doubt. I think it's always good. This is a good opportunity to reach out to all of your friends, and I'm doing the same, and hopefully more of the same with Tom, because good friends like that, they're hard to come by, and when you have a friend that good, you got to keep someone like that close, all your friends. So with that, I say goodnight. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed it. We can continue our A to Z series next with the letter I. What could there be for the topic of a letter I? We'll find out. You can find us on Twitter at DidCow, on the Whip. That's the show Twitter, the regular Twitter I do. Probably won't be hearing from me for a while, but the website, dididcow.com, Apple Podcasts, Dave in the City Out West. We'll see you next time.